I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour of the day, last hour of the week, Football Friday. We got a lot to squeeze in. Let's go. Teague and Tierney live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket Ken, about 20 minutes from now, Sharp Tierney's going to roll in, get you some picks, hopefully get you some winners like he did last week, 60%. We'll do our whip around coming up at 5:40 Eastern. Teague and I will jump on to all the games that are not hit during the Sharp Tierney segment. And Teague, this is interesting. Let's get to the Big Ten situation, which there were a lot of star players. There were a couple of absolute superstars in the Big Ten, guys who are locks to go, not just in the first round, but early, mm-hmm. who opted out of the season, understandably, and in essence said, you know what, I don't know where this is going, or I don't like where this is going. I'm going to check out, get my body, get my head right, and prepare for the NFL draft and put myself in the best situation to make some real life-changing money. Now, some of those players, as the Big Ten has changed their mind and they're coming back late October
yep.
with 8 games in 8 weeks. Now some of those star players have also changed their minds. They need a waiver to return. I think every one of these young men should be granted the right to come back and play. If there was, and I'll even take it a step further, if there's a situation, I know the NCAA would never do this because they mm-hmm. don't really care about the kids, even though they pretend and profess to, but they don't. But even if there's a young man who, based on his determination, I'm going to go pro, so I'm done with that, and he took money for, I don't know, something was financed for workouts or for suits or for a car or for liability, life insurance, whatever it might be.
Yep.
As long as I would even go so far and above to get to let these young men get their season back, if they're able to pay it back,
yep.
I would let them come back and play.
Yeah, well,
I really would.
Yeah,
and every one of them.
Yeah,
everyone.
There is a precedent here, BT, because and it just happened this past offseason. So there was a punter from Arizona State. His name was Michael Turk. Remember him at the combine? He bench pressed 225 25 times. So he's jacked. He was a punter. But he went undrafted. So he left school early and he went undrafted. Still had 2 years of eligibility, redshirted, obviously. So after his sophomore year, he left. He still had his junior and senior years available. But Michael Turk left and decided to go to the NFL. He didn't get drafted and didn't sign. And ultimately, he and Arizona State petitioned the NCAA for a waiver to regain his college eligibility. He basically said, I left college, this is his quote, I left college early for a professional career and that did not work out. And now due to COVID-19, I've actually been granted my 2 years of eligibility back to college football, and I'll be going back to Arizona State University. So there is a precedent for this, BT. Now, his was different. It's, mm-hmm. it's unique, but using the coronavirus as a reason or a hardship, I guess, is the term that they would use is important. And so whether these guys opted out because they simply didn't want to play or and get ready for the NFL, or they opted out for COVID reasons, I think that the NCAA has already set a precedent that will allow these guys to come back. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it.
That's the way it should be. You know, I mean, listen, these are circumstances that nobody could possibly be prepared for. And just like the you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 had to make tough decisions at that point, which they've changed their minds on, or at least the Big Ten certainly has, and the Pac-12 in all probability will. It's trending there. You know, you've got to give these young men, I believe, and you believe, the freedom and the latitude to do the same for something that was as unique and obviously as miserable a year as we've ever seen. But that would be the height of hypocrisy. So just it seems like, listen, we can bury the NCAA, and they've earned so much of the of our collective ire over the years because they neglected things that they didn't have to neglect. They just weren't fair, and we know their story, right? But at least you can say now, even if it's just to shut some people up, you know, if you want to frame it that way, they are at least moving in a different direction. In a relatively non-glacial pace.
Yeah.
Like, if the NCAA was doing all this stuff for the last 20 years, I wouldn't have a problem with the NCAA.
No, I don't think a lot of people would, because it would seem fair, or it would seem to take the best interest of college athletes. Now, obviously, we're talking about the money sports, the basketball and football, and even women's basketball at this point with their opportunities in the WNBA, etc. So if you looked at their best interest, then you'd give them the opportunity to explore professionalism without smashing amateurism in their face and saying, you've given up your right to be an amateur because you want to think about going to the next level. What is that? That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's if you're Bill Gates, right? Bill Gates went to school for a couple of years and it was like, you know what? School's not for me, but I'm going to start a business that's going to be worth a gazillion dollars. You know, if you decide to come back to school, would it have been a problem? No, the answer is no. But there's a separate set of rules for athletics. I don't know why it evolved like that, you know, decades ago, but it is that way. And it's a perception it's been told over and over again to the point that we want to believe it when it's actually, there's no basis for it.
Well, I think the reason, you know, the origin was to fundamentally try to keep it somewhat clean, you know, and like the outside influences to not, you know, so openly and overtly permeate the sport where it's just a money grab and it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, well, true. But honestly, it goes back. If I really wanted to go back, you'd go back to the rowing competitions that took place when the NCAA was first started between Harvard and Yale or Harvard and whatever. And they wouldn't even be Harvard students. It was all for winning and gambling and things of that nature. And so in that regard, I get it. But as society has evolved and we have awareness about, you know, kids and what they're doing and who they're engaging with, it's these rules are a little bit antiquated and they're slowly changing, but you're right, it is moving faster over the last couple of months and maybe even the last couple of years.
Now, a few things that are on the college circuit now. Baylor-Houston game, as we know, that's been postponed due to COVID. The SEC announced roster minimums for each game, and the Pac-12 is obviously talking, but still in the early stages. So let me ask you this. When we start the show Monday, we have a little more do we have resolution with the Pac-12?
Or is this still kind of – No, I think the Pac-12 has to tell us what's going on or just continue to push off until after the new year. Now, but they have clearance in most part from the state of California, as we talked about yesterday, BT. But look, they don't want to miss out. And it's going to be dicey, obviously, because if you miss a game because of the coronavirus breakout in your team, you're not going to have time to make it up, at least not in time for the college football playoff. Do we have clarity? Yeah, I think we do have clarity on the Pac-12 come Monday morning, but that's not going to mean that they're going to have a seamless season. I mean, you're right about some of these games that have already been canceled. Virginia Tech has been postponed.
Yep.
UNC, Charlotte has been postponed.
That was going to be on, made my list too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That made my list. I had to take care of it. I got to get rid of it. It's not coming up next segment.
Yeah. There's a couple that have, it's going to keep happening. And again, it's not like there's these mass outbreaks, but there's one kid that tests positive and 10 others that potentially were exposed, so they have to be quarantined, so they're not available. And so that's why the SEC has these minimums for a number of players. And it's not necessarily that they're all positive, it's just that exposure is as damaging to roster makeup as actually testing positive.
I don't know that you saw this. I had Dennis Dodd on the show the other day. Teak was off one day, and we were talking about the Big Ten mm-hmm. and their decision to return. Dennis had an article today, and I'm looking at it now. It says, the name of the article, as college football plays through COVID-19, a gambling market has developed around player availability.
Wow.
Betting groups are willing to pay big money to find out which teams have COVID-19 absences each week in practice.
What?
Yeah. Let's see. Check this out. This is how he starts the piece. Over the course of 40 hours, this is in relation to the Arkansas State, Kansas State game last week.
Yeah.
Now, the Red Wolves won, which was a big surprise. They only traveled 62 players, which is low. They were missing 20 players, right? And now I read from Dennis's piece. Over the course of 40 hours, from Thursday night to Saturday's noon kickoff, the line on the game in every major Vegas sports book had shifted from 5 points, -9 to -14 for Kansas State. And while the FBI didn't come sniffing around, the line was significant and did not go unnoticed. And then there's a quote. Kenny White says, one of the better sports line, Kenny White. He says, somebody knew something about Arkansas State, and they bet that all the way up. I mean, you wouldn't even think. I mean, yeah, you know, actually you would. But that's another aspect here. Like, I mean, there's hustlers out there who are paying big loot to find out what's happening on campuses. And they'll get the information.
Of course.
They'll get it.
Yeah, because somebody will give it to them. It's financially beneficial to somebody to give it to them.
That's why you can't win.
No,
you know,
right.
We're getting ready to do Tierney's Take, and, you know, I take pride in giving you wins, a lot more wins than most of the other guys who do this on the air. But, I mean, I could go 1-9 this week. Like, you conceivably, especially with college, you have no idea. The stadiums are empty. Who knows who's healthy with COVID, who practiced, who just got cleared, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But even in a non-pandemic year, gambling, it's just hard. You just lose. You lose. Except Sharp Tierney. Of course, you
that much here. What are you, 60%? 60% last
60%
week.
Last week, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good start. We'll take it. I wanted a few more. What else? What else is jumping out this weekend about college football? Let's see. I might have a little something on Notre Dame next segment. Navy's playing. They've been in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else jump out? I didn't see a ton of great games.
No, there's not. The only great one is the one I'm going to do this weekend.
Louisville. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going down to Louisville, right?
Yeah, Louisville versus Miami, number 17 versus number 18 in the ACC battle. That's probably the best one, college game day.
Oh, that's definitely the best one.
College game day will be there as well. But other than that, it's odd.
Slim pickings.
It's slim pickings because teams are creating games. You know what I mean? It's like you got to go find an opponent. And, you know, it's one of the conversations just around the University of Virginia, my alma mater. It's like, can we find a game? Like, Virginia Tech had to pull out because of positive coronavirus tests. Can we find a game? And think about that. You're going to go find a game like
at this stage,
like seven. They knew this probably a week and a half before. So you're gonna go find a game 10 days before you're gonna play somebody. It's odd.
You got some of these, even if you find it, how do you properly scout and prepare for them?
You can't. You're blind. You're utterly blind. But that's how some of these smaller schools are. They don't have a real schedule. They're just playing games. You know, they're not playing for anything. They're just playing games.
Well, they're getting a few bucks, right?
Yeah, of course.
A few bucks.
Of course they're getting money, but they're just playing games.
Yeah. I know Clemson's playing Citadel, so, you know, that's the spread's basically 47. Yeah,
but they do that anyway.
I know.
That's a yearly thing.
I hear you. BYU-Army could have been decent. Both teams are ranked. But you're right. You have the game of the week. What time are you leaving? You going tonight?
Yeah, I'm leaving right after the show.
Do you have to leave early or no?
No, right after the show.
Nice. Have you been down to Louisville at all?
I have never been to Louisville.
I've just been there for basketball. Never been there for football.
Coach Satterfield is doing a heck of a job with the Louisville Cardinals. He's one of the winningest coaches, as crazy as this may sound, in college football over the last, you know, 4 or 5 seasons.
Is that true?
It's obviously Dabo and Saban.
Yeah,
and there's someone else in there, but then right behind him with 41 wins over the last couple of years. It's Scott Satterfield at Louisville. They've done a really good job. They've had some quarterbacks going back to Charlie Strong with Teddy Bridgewater, and then Lamar Jackson was there.
They have.
And now Mikael Cunningham who is a dual threat stud. He's there. He's under center for him. So they've always been kind of on the precipice of being like an elite team. They've had some ups and downs, but mm-hmm. this season they feel like they have the talent. Got a good runner. They got two really good receivers, Dennis Fitzpatrick and Braden Smith. I mean, they're good, man. And so it's going to be a test for D-Cells University of Miami.
Be a
Hurricanes.
Test. They're underdogs. It's going to be a test. I mean, Miami's supposed to lose. Miami's underdogs.
I don't know. They rushed for 337 yards
they're
last
underdogs.
Week.
They're underdogs in a game. They're underdogs. They're officially underdogs. Nice. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test for... I mean, make it seem like it's going to be, Miami might get a little tested. Miami's lucky if they win.
De'Aaron King is a difference maker. Trust me, he's a difference maker. It's going to be a great game.
Is it going to be a low scoring game or a
Hell
high scoring
no,
game?
Dude. This game's going to go to 120. I'm telling you. They ran the ball 56 times last week. 56.
Tick, 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 tick,
yeah.
tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, but there were a lot of big plays, too. So Louisville's a big play team. We'll see.
All right. I got you. So that's on Compass on the radio side. That's an ABC game. So if you want to watch that, Teak will be up there in the booth. So good stuff. All right, coming up next, Teak, speaking of picks, speaking of games, Sharp Tierney steps in. I depart for a little bit, and Sharp Tierney comes in, hopefully hands out a bunch of winners. We'll have a little fun with that. Also, we'll do our week two Tiki and Tierney whip around. All the games I don't hit in the Sharp Tierney segment, Tiki and I will hit, so we'll hit them well. We've got football the rest of the way. We'll hammer it home for you. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, who you like, what you're looking for. But picks coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. It's money time. It's money time here on the show. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn more. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Still watching the golf. We'll give you an update before we bounce in terms of the cut line, Tiger, etc. We've got Week 2 Tiki and Tierney whip around where we'll hit all the games that I don't hit coming up next, but it's about that time. Make a little loot. Obviously, we try our best. There's no guarantees, although we usually do pretty well for you, 60% a week ago. And let's go. Time for a little Sharp Tierney. Let's roll.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
Every show makes picks, but this show actually makes picks that'll put money in your pocket. And we've got nearly 10 years of evidence to back it up. Buckle in and get your wallets ready as BT pops on his shades and becomes Sharp Tierney.
It is my mission, Tiki, every week to add a little bit more of a prop. This week I threw the hat on. By week five, I'll have a fur coat on. What, gold shades? Watch.
Dude, it's cocked to the side, too. That
That's
makes
right,
it even
baby.
Better, man.
Hey, so, it's time to make a little loop.
So Brooklyn, man.
Time
so
to get
Brooklyn.
My hustle on. Tilt those. It's time. Let's go. All right, first up, here we go. If you're new to this, we're picking the spread. That goes without saying. 60% last week, as I said. I actually started 4-0 in college, which was sweet. Took a lumps around the NFL a little bit, unpredictable, but still 60%, 6 out of 10. We'll do that the rest of the year and be thrilled. Now, I could go 8-2, I could go 9-1, I could go 7 college and 3 pro. I could do over-unders, I could do sides. I've got no limitations. So let's start picking, and hopefully let's start identifying winners. First up, Troy. Troy is laying 3.5 points at Middle Tennessee State. Troy's yet to play a game yet, so you always have to worry about that a little bit because a little rust. But they got this kid, Gunnar Watson, making his first ever start. Now, Troy had a regress year last year. They've been actually really good for a while. They were only 5-7 a year ago. But the offense was a constant, you know, almost 500 yards a game, 35 points per game. And they have 7 of their top pass catchers back from a year ago. They're coming back to help Gunnar Watson ease into it. It's a nominal lay here, 3.5 points. It's an old rivalry, by the way. It's the battle for the the Palladium. I think it's called the battle for the Palladium here. So Middle Tennessee State played last week. They looked awful. I'm going to lay the 3.5. Give me the Trojans. Troy, -3.5. Hopefully there's your first win. Troy, we're going to roll with them. Bang. Boston College. All right. BC, +6. The crew from Chestnut Hill, my sister's school. But if they're not going to win me money, I don't care if my entire family went there. This is about winning games. Boston College, +6 now at Duke. Duke played last week. You know, listen, I don't think Notre Dame looked that good. I don't think Duke looked that good. But they hung around, 27-13. They covered. I had the under in that game. We won with that. Boston College is yet to play. This is down in Durham, in Wallace Stadium, 12 Eastern kick. The Eagles now, listen, there's going to be a little rust here. I understand that. But Boston College, to me, they are trotting out four offensive linemen that were there a year ago. So there's continuity there. And I like that. You know, when you have – and by the way, Duke allowed almost 7 yards of play last week against Notre Dame. I'm not saying Boston College is Notre Dame, but I am saying that I think you're going to give me 6 points for a team that isn't really that good. Yeah, I'll take my chances. Give me Boston College plus six. Ring it up. Go Eagles. Let's go. Where's the? There it is. There's the register. Let's move on. A little 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. App State. Appalachian. Don't say Appalachian. Appalachian State. -4.5 at Marshall. Now, App State is just a program. You know, and I'm not saying that Marshall's not good. Marshall's had a hell of a program as well. Leftwich went there. Chad Pennington went there. Randy Moss went there. Good players. They've turned out a lot of pros. I'm just an App State guy. Remember when App State, true story, when App State beat Michigan at the Big House, geez, what is that, like 15 years ago at this point, whatever it is, maybe more? I actually had App State in that game, not on the money line, I wish, but I had getting the points and I won. So ever since then, I've had this affinity for App State. Again, the object is to win, so if I didn't think that they would cover the 4.5 points, I wouldn't lay it. I do believe they'll cover the 4.5. That's why I'm laying App State -4.5. Ring it up, D-Cell. Let's hear it. Boom. There it is. All right. USF is getting, depending upon where you shop, 25.5 or 26 at Notre Dame. Here's what I see about Notre Dame. Here's what I think. 2:30 Eastern, by the way, is the kick. I don't think Notre Dame's very explosive. I don't. I don't see these gash plays. I don't see, at least not yet, I don't see a ton of pros on offense that are, you know, skill guys are going to translate and you know, just have a lot of influence in, early in the NFL. USF, who they play, Citadel last, forget about that. They're getting a lot of points. That's why I'm reacting to this game. I'm going to take USF. I'm going to take the, I have it at 25.5. And I'm going to take that, and I'm just going to literally bet that Notre Dame just doesn't quite have enough weaponry to bury you. Maybe a little ambitious for some. Maybe Notre Dame was rusty last week against Duke. Maybe I look bad. Whatever. Today, my pick is USF, and I'm taking the big chunk, 25 and a hook. Go ahead, D-Cell. Ring it. All right, NFL. Those are the four college picks. I'm doing six NFL picks again. Bills, -5.5. They're obviously 1-0 at Miami, who lost. This opened up at right around +3, so it's been bet up. Heavily, significantly, 2.5 points represents a big jump there for the Bills. I'm taking the Bills. I don't need to build up suspense here. Not that Miami's not going to eventually find some stability and some optimism this season, but they're not going to find it with Ryan Fitzpatrick against this Bills defense, even though the Bills linebacking core is a little bit banged up, as it was against the Jets last week. But Josh Allen fumbled twice last week against the Jets. Otherwise, the Bills, they may have put up 50 points. You know, you see the difference with Stephon Diggs. You knew it was coming. It just looks like an offense that has already taken a step forward. And they were a playoff team last week. I'll lay the 5.5. Give me the Buffalo Bills. First NFL pick. All right, I've got to drop an over-under at some point, right? I'm going to take the over in the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game for a couple of reasons. Number one, Tampa's going to be very, very pissed. And number two, you know, the Panthers are a team to me that, I'm actually going to get to the Raiders later in this. I don't want to divulge too much. But, you know, the Panthers, they got some weapons. And they had some weapons. They scored 30 points last week against the Raiders. Not saying the Raiders' defense is great, but the Panthers can move it a little bit. Tampa's scoring. The Panthers will do enough to tilt this over 47.5. I'm not big in, even though I like to have fun with the verbiage, you know, but I'm not into saying, oh, it's a lock, it's a lock. Nothing's a lock if you're putting down real money, coin or green stuff, or Bitcoin, I guess. But the one thing I will say, I really do like this game. I'm taking the over. It's a lock. I like it. Over 47.5. Moving on, D-Cell, let's go. Tiki, are you with me, Tiki?
Of course I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm enjoying this.
I'm going to put a little coin. How's the lid look? I look like CeCe a little bit on the mound for the Yankees,
you
right?
You do. You're just a little bit paler, but that's okay.
I've got your Giants. Now, the question is, the question is, am I taking the points or am I laying the points? Meaning, am I going to take the Giants at plus 5.5 or am I going to take the Bears minus 5.5? What do you think I'm going to do, Teak? You know how my brain works for the most part, as scary as that is.
Well, I know you like the Giants offense.
I do.
The Bears defense is stout, but you're also lukewarm. Bitsky, you like him, but you kind of don't trust him to score a lot of points. I think you're going to go Giants.
I'm taking the Giants. Nice. Tiki's right. Nice. And I'm taking the Giants because, hey, listen, Tiki, while he was 100% right and respectful in the obvious football criticism, I think this about Saquon. It was a big story this week. I think Saquon balls out. He took it like a gentleman. He took it like the young pro that he is. So did Joe Judge. So did everybody else. Jason Garrett. I like the Giants here. A matter of fact, I might take the Giants on the money line myself. But right now, Giants 5.5, I'm taking that. Let's get to the Jaguars. Wait, I didn't hear it. There it is. Let's get to the Jags and the Tennessee Titans. The over-under is 44. Gardner Minshew misfired on one pass. Hey, the Jaguars, forget about their defense, all right? They have some weapons on offense. You know I like Gardner Minshew, but DJ Shark, Cole, Robinson, James Robinson, their running back who's interesting. And here's what I like about the over. While I do think the Jags will score just enough to keep this over, their defense, which was obviously traded off and gutted, the one guy who really is a star that remains, Josh Allen, missed a lot of practice as well. I don't know if he's going to play it. If he does play, he's got a calf injury. So the one guy that could disrupt it and keep that total low might not play, probably won't play. And if he does, I don't know how well or how effective he is. Give me the over in the Jaguars and the Titans. That number's 44. There it is on cue. All right, let's get to the Raiders. The Raiders. Listen, I take the Raiders to be a playoff team this year. I do, or I did. Michael Thomas is not playing for the Saints. They don't necessarily need Michael Thomas to win. 5.5 is always that interesting, weird number. Like, and I'll give you an example. Let's say, hey, Josh Jacobs, by the way, ran for 3 touchdowns a week ago behind that offensive line, which is phenomenal. One of the best offensive lines in football, all right? I'd like to see if Ruggs is fully healthy. You know, I love the tight end, but Ruggs got nicked up last week, came back, was relatively ineffective when he came back. Before he got hurt, almost took it to the house. You saw the burst there. But 5.5 is a number. Let's just say the Raiders have, you know, a methodical drive. The Saints a little hungover from their battle with Tom Brady, right? I mean, there was a lot of hype there. And let's say the Raiders score the first touchdown, which they very conceivably might. They're very good on offense. Suddenly, you're playing with 12.5 points, and now it changes. That's Monday Night Football, by the way. I'm going to take the Raiders. I'm going to take the 5.5 points, and it wouldn't stun me if they won. I wouldn't bet the money line like I might with the Giants. I think the Raiders cover. I like this pick. Give me the 5.5 for the silver and black. So I jumped to Monday. I'm going to actually do the Sunday night game as well. Last pick here. Seattle, -4 to host the Pats. Listen. You can mix and match and have 15 runs for Cam against the relatively, at least that day, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, relatively impotent Dolphins. Not much of a running game. Jordan Howard's not that high. Seattle, did you see the Pro Football Focus rating on Jamal Adams and what he did? Highest rated safety in week 1. I told you, this guy's a future Hall of Famer. What I would do is I would spy him all game on Cam. Oh, Cam, you want to run? Guess who's waiting for you? That guy, and that guy is Jamal Adams. Now, Seattle has some other issues on defense. I just don't know if the Pats can exploit it. I'm going to lay the 4. This is a Sunday night game. I'm going to lay the 4, and I'm going to take Seattle somewhere in the neighborhood of 27, 17-ish, 20, you know, 27, 20. But I am going to lay the 4, and I'm going to take Seattle. Ring the bell, then we'll give you the summary. Go ahead. Boom. Where are you? Nice. All right. Here it is. In summation, picks for week 2. Troy laying 3.5 at Middle Tennessee State. Give me the Trojans. I'm going to take Boston College +6 at Duke. Give me the BC Eagles. App State laying 4.5. Take it on Marshall. I'm going to roll with App State here. I'm going to take a big number, 25 at a hook, and I'm going to hope that I'm right. Give me USF, South Florida, to hang, somewhat hang, and just not get obliterated, at Notre Dame, USF +25.5. Bills -5.5 at Miami. I'm going to take the Bills. Panthers in the Tampa, expect some scoreboard tilts, meaning you're going to get some points. Over is 47.5. I'm going there. Give me Tiki's Giants. Inspired them this week. Maybe woke them up a little bit. They didn't look that bad against the Steelers, but I'll take the Giants +5.5 against the host Bears. The Jags and the Titans, I'll take the over there. That number's 44. Raiders +5.5 as they unveil the new, no one's going to be in it, but in the new stadium. And finally, I will take Seattle -4. to take on and beat, moving away from the Pats. So I believe they'll cover that number. We'll do it every Friday. Sharp Tierney is here. 60% in week one, well over 50% the 7 years I've been doing this, over 700 picks. I've made you a lot of money. Hopefully it continues. And we'll get them up on social media. Mike probably already put them up. Check Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. Let me know what you think. Good luck. And obviously, listen, there's no fans. It's a pandemic. I always tell you, even when things are going well and normal, be careful. Don't lose anything that you can't lose. Have fun. Enjoy the sweat, and hopefully we get you some wins. There we go, Teak.
Nice.
How's that?
Well done. Oof. I enjoyed that.
I love doing this.
It's a lot of energy.
Can we get a sponsor for this segment?
A lot of energy you're expending.
I mean, geez, can we get a sponsor?
We will.
What do you think?
We will.
When?
We'll work on it.
How about that?
I know.
This thing should be sponsored.
There's no doubt about
Let's go. All right. Let's get an update from Mac.
Nope.
Pardon me, from Bobby Huesler.
Yep.
I'm all amped up.
You know, I
get worked up. I love this. We'll come back and we'll do our whip around and we'll hit the games I did not hit. That's next. Bobby Huesler's update is right now. Here's Bobby. All right, Teak. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Teak and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Before we get to our week two little whip around style, Cal is in San Francisco and Cal wants to know, how confident are you that Jimmy G's the right guy for the Niners to sustain long-term success? Go ahead, Teak. Why don't you hop on this?
I'm going to say if he has to do it himself, probably not. But they have done such an amazing job, John Lynch and this 49ers team, of putting great defenses and a great run game offensive line around him. So can he win and ultimately get to a Super Bowl and win one, actually? I say absolutely.
Yeah, I don't disagree. He's not a top 10, top 12, top 13 quarterback, but he's certainly good enough if you got the right stuff around him. Good to go. Almost won it last year, no question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. So your car care needs guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Teak, this is how we wrap up every Football Friday. Any games we didn't hit during the gambling segment, we throw into a little whip around, get you primed for what should be a pretty interesting second week around the National Football League. You ready to roll here, Teak?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
The Atlanta Falcons, the Dallas Cowboys.
An interesting spot. Both teams hunting for that first W. Mike McCarthy did not exactly impress in his debut. A couple of head-scratching calls. Here's the head coach for Dallas on what went down in week one.
Just to give an overall assessment of our football team, we looked like a football team that played its first game. In other areas, I thought we did a lot of really good things. You know, we have a grading index that we put a lot of time into, and so we're closer than you may think we are. But at the end of the day, you know, our honeymoon is over. It's time to win games.
Mm-hmm. What do you think here? Matty Ice got loose, 450 yards. Who do you like? What are you saying here, Teak?
They had a trio of wide receivers go over 100, and Todd Gurley had a rushing touchdown as well. Look, this game is not going to be short on super talent because the Cowboys have just as much on the offensive side as well. It's going to come down to who plays better defense. Right now, both of these teams are playing bad defense. I think this is a barn burner. I'm going to give it to the Falcons, though.
Interesting. Now, we all know the stat about, you know, well, what happens when teams start 0-2, like 70% fail to make the playoffs. That's a little less significant this year with the extra wild card spot.
Yep.
But still, you know, especially in Dallas with the expectations, 0-2 would not be good. We shall see. Moving on.
The Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers.
Ah, the Lions. I mean, they are the most creative franchise in terms of finding ways, painful, soul, you know, destroying ways to lose. And they did it again. DeAndre Swift dropped the touchdown. Their defense folded late. Trubisky, three bombs in the fourth quarter. Matt LaFleur knows, though, Matthew Stafford could still rip it.
I think he's good all the time. I mean, I think he's got an elite arm talent. I think he's unfairly criticized, to be quite honest. And I think he's one of the best QBs in the league.
Now, Teague, what about the Packers? We saw some heavy firepower. Rodgers with four touchdowns, and not just Adams who went loose. They have really three receivers who are pretty good. Do they have enough offense?
Yeah, they definitely have enough offense. This is a matter of staying balanced, not making mistakes, and we know that Aaron Rodgers doesn't make mistakes. Last year, he had one of the lowest interception percentages really in the history of the National Football League. So he's going to take shots, and he's going to take risk. And now that his receiving core has led by Davante Adams and Valdez-Scantling, is now that they've like grown up around him, I think the Packers run away with this one.
You know, the Lions secondary is dismal. Darius Slay is already gone. We know that.
Yep.
But They've got some injuries. I agree. I think I almost put this in my picks here. I think the Packers slice them up early. Would it stun you if they approach 40 points? Probably not. This could be one of those ugly losses if it actually comes to fruition the way you and I think it might.
Yeah.
Where that might be one of the final nails in Matt Patricia's Lions coffin, because he got a little reprieve last year. But I don't know if that's coming this year. We'll see. The Packers look like they're ready to light them up. I agree. Moving on, T.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Both teams need a win.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Pardon me. My bad. Stepped on it. Both teams need a win. Colts, I don't know what happened against the Jaguars. Vikings defense, which has been very good the last couple of years, not as good. Packers, we just mentioned them. They sliced them up. What do you see, T?
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins got off to a slow start. Dalvin Cook, who scored two touchdowns. He didn't do much, though, as far as churning up yardage and having those big plays that we always look for from him. And from the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, Phillip Rivers is, you love to watch him, but you know he's going to make those mistakes. If he can avoid those mistakes, I think they can beat teams. I don't think that it's going to happen this week, though.
You know, I don't know which way to go here. I might lean with the Colts, even though Marlon Mack is out now for the year with a ruptured Achilles. They've actually got a pretty good stable of running backs, guys we've
Jonathan
talked about.
Taylor was a running back from Wisconsin.
And the other kid catches the football, too. Yep. He's going to get a lot of reps last week. He's fine.
Not Nyheim Hines.
Yes. I think that there are some issues with the Vikings this year. I don't love him. Let's see what Mike Zimmer has to say about going up against Phillip Rivers.
Rivers is a tremendous competitive player. Still can make all the throws. You know, he's really, really smart. Sees a lot of different things. It's always tough playing, even though you've played him, recently. It's always tough playing those guys. They're good players.
All right, moving on. Let's get to the worst team in the NFL.
The New York Jets, the San Francisco 49ers.
Really, the only thing the Jets had somewhat going for them was a pretty good rapport between Sam Darnold and Jamison Crowder. Crowder is out of the game. Frank Gore, all respect in the world. He's 38, man. He's starting. The Jets, how in the world do they even keep this close?
Nah, I don't know, BT.
I know the Niners are banged up, too, though.
Yeah, they are, but they still have depth. The difference is the Niners have depth. George Kittle is not playing. But Frank Gore, 24 yards. I mean, the Jets' offensive line is new and it's bad. Sam Darnold just feels like he's lost a little bit, and it's not always his fault. I think the 49ers' defense is the dominant factor here. They probably score and put their offense in point-blank range a few times. So it's obviously a 49ers victory for me.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
So we'll see.
Yep, Niners about a touchdown favorite now at this point. They run the ball schematically. They do things very well. Greg Williams, a heck of a DC. Marvin May played very, very, very well. Marcus May, very well last week as he stepped in for Jamal Adams. But the Jets just don't have the horses, despite Sam Darnold trying to put on a brave face.
We got a great group of guys who come to work every day and with the right mindset, and the last couple of practices have been really good. The attention to detail has been up there. We're just going to continue to work hard.
All right, a little pressure on Darnold. Also a little pressure coming up in this game as we move on, Teak.
Los Angeles Rams, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oof, Carson Wentz, he was getting shredded on the radio out there in Philly all week with a bunch of fumbles. They coughed up a 17-0 lead. Here's Carson Wentz as they get ready to take on the aforementioned Rams. The rivalry, of course, remember, these guys went 1-2 a few years back in the draft. Here's Wentz.
A lot of respect for him as a player and as a guy. Consider him a friend. But, the rest of that, the rivalry, all of that stuff, that's neither here nor there for both of us. But, I just enjoy playing against him, competing against him, and it should be another fun one.
Worried about the Eagles, Teak. Fair?
Yeah, worried about the Eagles, and the Rams' offense looked pretty good. Even though they're not exciting, but they look pretty good. Malcolm Brown in that committee backfield had two touchdowns. Robert Woods had over 100 yards from Jared Goff. But the real issue for this Eagles offense and Carson Wentz is Aaron Donald is a man amongst boys. We saw him last week just eating people up. He's going to do that over and over and over again against this Eagles offensive line, especially if they stay beat up like they were last week.
Moving on.
The Denver Broncos, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, Steelers beat Tiki's Giants in week one. And Drew Lock, who had some weapons down. Cortland Sutton didn't play in week one. Lindsey got hurt. So Drew Lock now knows the performance has to improve, but he's kind of pinched in terms of weaponry. Here's the quarterback for Denver.
Bottom line is, we got to be better than we were last Sunday. We got to make the easy plays. I keep saying that, to where we can keep us on the field, be better in third downs, take advantage of the matchups that we get, and steer our goes from there.
Now, the good news is Courtland Sutton, I've got him on fantasy. A lot of people obviously do. He has practiced consecutive days this week. He looks, it was a sprained shoulder, an AC joint. He looks like he's ready to roll. But Denver's a tough team to read, T.
Yeah, they are, but they need to keep it easy for Drew Lock. They're lucky they have Melvin Gordon in the backfield with Philip Lindsay down. And Noah Fant, the second-year player, tight end out of Iowa, he's a great target, I think, for a young quarterback. But this is going to be the Steelers' defense doing what they do, playing aggressive, being disruptive. Bud Dupree had a ridiculous game against the Giants last week. I think this is a Pittsburgh defense win, even though Big Ben and those guys are going to do what they do always.
All right, let's get to a guy that I've been pumping up all summer. Let's go. Moving on.
Washington football team, the Arizona Cardinals.
And, of course, that would be Kyler Murray, who says, hey, listen, yeah, we beat the Niners, but that's in the rearview mirror. Now we move on to week two and we handle what's in front of us. Here's the second-year quarterback who seems poised for a big season.
There's no hangover. There will never be a hangover, at least for me. It's a day-to-day process, and I think this team understands that. You know, it's a day-to-day process. We got to practice well this week. We got to execute come Sunday.
Teek, here's the bottom line. One of these two teams is going to be 2-0, which would represent, you know, one of the bigger storylines early in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, this is obviously Kyler Murray. His maturity, I'm so impressed with. Even last year, you hear it in his voice. Dwayne Haskins is still learning to be the quarterback for the Washington football team, but their defense is just outstanding. I mean, they get after the quarterback, and it makes it so much easier on that Washington secondary. So as long as they keep this one, you know, tight, they can find ways to win, exactly like they did last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. But I like the Cardinals here at home. I think that Kyler Murray finds ways to involve DeAndre Hopkins just like he did last week. He's going to be targeted a lot. 14 targets last week, 13 catches. It's going to be one of the most exciting combos that we're going to see all season long.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. It's an under-the-radar good game. All right, good stuff. Week two, Tiki and Tierney whip around as we spin you around and bring the rest of the games to you. So we got a stacked weekend. Teek's going to be doing some college football, Miami, Louisville. Have a safe flight out there tonight, Teek. Well, good travels, bud.
Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate you, man. Everybody enjoy the golf as Wingfoot has begun to, long ago, chew up these guys in day two. So we'll be watching that. Obviously, week two, Sunday's going to be awesome. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself safe, sensible, and sane. We'll catch you soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.